Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Now your DOD report. $3.8 billion may be the Pentagon's price tag for relatively low-intensity operations against ISIL in the Middle East. The Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments says the estimate depends on the intensity of air operations and whether more ground troops will be deployed over there. Joint Chiefs of Staff General Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Martin Dempsey says DOD is shredding its old budget for 2015 and starting over to pay for operations against ISIL. The Pentagon says those operations cost anywhere between $7 to $10 million a day. You get your DOD report on Federal News Radio. The top leaders of the Homeland Security Department are leaving jobs twice as fast as any other agency in the federal government. The Washington Post reports a dysfunctional workplace and terrible morale are two reasons why. Rich Cooper's a partner at Catalyst Partners and a fellow for the Homeland Security Policy Institute at George Washington University and writing about what the agency needs in terms of a culture fix. Rich, it's great to have you on the program. I'm struck by the response from Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson about this Washington Post story. It obviously struck a nerve because one of the things that he wrote was 90% of all positions at the SES level and above across the 240,000-person department are now filled. So there's a story on the one hand portrayed by the Washington Post and information presented by Secretary Johnson to rebut that story. And I guess people like me are left wondering what's going on inside the building. And you write about some of that in your latest post on the Security Debrief blog. Rich, what is going on inside the department right now in your view?
Francis, thanks for having me on. It's a tale of two departments. It's the best of times, worst of times in that respect. Worst of times, as the original Post article talked about, the, I will say, leadership flight that was going out of the department and have been going out of the department for a number of years. The good news is that Jay Johnson has been truly working overtime to fill so many of those critical spots. One of the biggest challenges Jay Johnson had in coming on board at DHS is that he was left with basically a vacant bench strength. He had no one in his bullpen. He had no one that he could look to provide backups to critical positions, and he has literally worked overtime to fill the spots. And that's part of the story that I think he was looking to make sure that the Post told, and he certainly gave all the details that in his response that the Post didn't put in there. So again, while the Post is absolutely accurate about the flight, Johnson is more than credible and is more than accurate, and he talks about the spots that have been filled. The challenge he has is keeping people in those positions. He has been able to extract promises from the persons that he's brought on that they will stay to the end of the administration. But it just comes down to helping him build a core bench strength so that if when the administration switches, there isn't going to be another exodus out of the department that leaves it literally with help wanted looking in the window. That's a place where we don't want to see that those types of advertisements. We need people on those benches ready to go.
One of the things that I noted as I read this story in the Post was they conveyed information about who was leaving and talked to folks from the inside or formerly from the inside who spoke very eloquently about some of the challenges that we've discussed on this program. What I didn't understand after finishing the piece was how much of the transition can be attributed to problems inside the agency, and I'm using air quotes there, and how much of it can be attributed to the fact that these departures primarily were happening in the 4 to 6 year window after the beginning of an administration, when we typically see, especially in the political appointee ranks, high level departures for the very reason that you just mentioned, so that the administration can get into place the people that it wants to fulfill the mission for the rest of the term.
I think that is part of the challenge, and that weakness became absolutely glaring as Janet Napolitano exited the department because she had so many departures that had already occurred on her watch. But the backups, there were no backups. They never filled the bench or the bullpen to go back in and pitch the extra innings that we need. We're all into baseball analogies right now with the playoffs on Friday, so pardon that. But the point being is that there needed to be more time and emphasis on building up those core competencies, core capabilities, and the core personnel to do that. Any number of places at DHS, you had acting people for acting positions. It would go down two, maybe three, possibly even four levels. So you'd have an acting assistant secretary. And that's not any way to run a department, particularly a department with the mission responsibilities that it has for literally all the bad days that go on in this country.
We have a link to your suggestions, your recommendations about what DHS should do and who should fix what at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You're writing it on the Security Debrief blog. You go to Congress first, and just about everybody that talks about reshaping or realigning or anything, the Homeland Security Department points to what you point at, which is the huge and seemingly growing number of congressional committees that have some piece of DHS oversight, Rich.
The department is literally being nibbled to death by guppies when it comes to Congress. You know, the Post quotes one survey that it's 90 committees that have oversight over the department. Depending on who you talk to, that goes up to all the way to 130. And on top of 435 members in the House and 100 members of the Senate, all who know Homeland Security better than the people who are actually doing it,
right,
and all have prescriptions to what they ought to do, particularly if it means hiring the company that invented such and such whiz-bang device that will protect us all. Again, the department is being killed by Congress, by the people who went to create it. And the burden that goes into congressional oversight, I mean, the Pentagon itself has been certainly is more than mature and equipped to deal with a lot of this. But the Pentagon only has basically 30 to 40 committees that oversee its jurisdiction. Look at DHS's mission, and it doesn't even compare. And the amount of burden and distraction that puts upon the leadership, let alone the staff, they can't focus on the other things that they need to do because they're so busy answering the mail and all the other individual requests that come in from congressional members. The speakers of both political parties, the leadership of both political parties, have failed the department in this way. And again, it's the only recommendation of the 9/11 Commission not acted upon. I don't know how Congress looks itself in the mirror on a lot of days given its performance, but when you have a less than 10% approval rating, I guess you can be comfortable with that. But they have failed continually on this. It is my hope that when a new administration comes to town and new congressional leadership takes over, they can finally recognize the absurdity of this madness and fix it, releasing some of the burden upon the department to allow the department to do the job it was chartered to do.
Rich Cooper of the George Washington University Homeland Security Policy Institute and a partner at Catalyst Partners. You point at the White House as well, and you write, I look at my old office at DHS, the private sector office, and it's not even a glimpse of a shadow of its former self. And you write, that's not uncommon across the agency. What do you see when you look at that landscape, Rich?
It is one where, you know, the original teams that went into the department were literally a MacGyver type of effort, to where you were basically taking whatever pieces you had left in the drawer to assemble something to get the department to work. I was fortunate with where I worked in the private sector office to have leadership at Al Martinez Fonts, as well as with Secretary Ridge, that really empowered people to go ahead and build the capacity, build the capabilities, and create the relationships that the department needed to have. My office, since Al's departure, has literally, it may exist on paper, but it doesn't exist in operations the way it once did. That's true of a lot of places within the department. That's where, again, having leadership that will empower the people to do those jobs, to go out and build those relationships, strengthen those relationships, forge additional ones, is critical. This is about a team exercise. Homeland Security is a national mission. It involves all of us, not just some of us. And that means being actively engaged. That means engaging your critics. That means listening to your critics as well as giving your critics additional facts and information. Don't see that happening in my old office anymore. I know I'm not alone as a DHS veteran looking at some of the things that have gone on. I do see some glimmers of hope that come out of particularly FEMA and what's gone on there. I see the Coast Guard, but the Coast Guard is a little bit of a different creature because they have institutional, from beginning to end of a career, forging those people, a very different type of culture. The FEMA folks, I give a lot of credit to Director Jameson, who came in after Katrina, some of the reforms that he put in, but then Craig Fugate built out on those things as well. creating capacity on state, local, and private sector levels. FEMA is going ahead and doing that. There are a lot of places in the department that literally since Napolitano took over, those just didn't seem to be priorities. Lots of photo ops, but not a lot of the definitive things that need to have happen to make Homeland Security work all the way from the top to the bottom.
Rich, we just have a minute or so left, but you write again, as you have in the past, about Secretary Napolitano's efficiency initiative and why it seems to you, to at least, to be exactly the opposite of that. What's the residual effect that's having on the agency now?
It means that Jay Johnson has to go around and rebuild relationships that were allowed to atrophy and fall by the wayside. I've had the fortune of seeing Jay Johnson engage a number of different groups in town, literally looking to rebuild the dialogue and relationship that just seemed to go by the wayside and didn't seem to matter to Secretary Napolitano and her team. That's good for Secretary Johnson to go ahead and do, but he's got a lot of other things he's got to worry about. Those relationships didn't need to go by the wayside. And the efficiency initiative that was put in, I think, has done made Jay Johnson's job even harder. He's already got a tough enough job, but when you have to refill the bench, you got to restore the relationships, and you got to deal with a Congress that is literally becoming an obstruction to movement, that makes his job even harder. I don't think Jay Johnson needs his job to be any harder.